We're turning to Romans chapter 8, please. And with God's word before us, let's bow just in a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee and before Thy precious word, and we thank Thee for the freedom that we have tonight to take the precious word of God and to preach it. And, O God, we ask Thee tonight that You will bless our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world where they do not have this freedom, those that are being persecuted, those that are in prison awaiting perhaps even the death sentence. And, O God, we ask Thee that You will give them that grace that is needed to cope even tonight. And we ask Thee to bless us here in Bethel. And we ask Thee, O God, that Thou wouldest come and pour out Thy Spirit upon us. Cleanse my heart afresh of the precious blood. Fill me afresh, O God, with Thy Holy Spirit. And enable me to preach Thy word. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. Amen. We want tonight to look at the verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And we want to look tonight at the supreme sacrifice. This morning we were looking at the work of the Holy Spirit and how it is so important that the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of individuals who are God's children and in the church and in the work of God. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to point men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And so we want to look at this supreme sacrifice. You know, many today are grieving the loss of loved ones. The anniversaries of the wars or of the tragedies of the troubles, they bring a renewed sense of loss year by year as those tragedies appear and they always come to the relatives of the people that are concerned, and it always brings back that sense of loss. The question remains unanswered, why? In the case of war, it was to protect our freedom from Germany. And yet, Europe has been trying to take control. But you know, we are in the process of leaving the European Union. In the case of the Troubles, it was the protection of our citizens against the onslaught of the terrorists. To many, the fact that no one has been brought to justice weighs heavy on him or her. They feel they've been left behind. Let us not forget that there is a day coming when they will answer to God for their murderous deeds. Those who have planned as well as carried out those atrocities and those murders will stand before the great white throne judgment, and they will have no lawyers, and there will be no barristers or letters of immunity of prosecution. All will be revealed before the righteous judge of all the earth, the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God. Oh, what a day that is going to be. How we respect and we remember those who gave their life for our freedom and protection. But let us always remember there is a day of judgment coming when those who carried out those atrocities and are carrying out the atrocities even today and across the world will stand before the judgment bar of God. All will be revealed before the righteous judge of all the earth, the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God. Let us look at this verse 32 and see displayed the supreme sacrifice ever given to mankind. God gave His only Son for rebels and sinners such as you and I. First of all, we want to look in this text at the supreme love of God. He that spared not His own Son. One of the greatest gifts any father or mother can have is the birth of a child. The father especially delights when a son is born to carry on his name. It could be the farm, it could be the business, and carrying on the name to the next generation. We read of Abraham, the servant of God, and he had a son, Isaac. And how God tested Abraham. And in Genesis 22, verse 2, and he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And here was Abraham being asked of God to take his son, his only son, and put him on an altar. But you know, the lamb was taken in place of Isaac. And you know, that lamb was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross of Calvary for our sins. We have David, and he mourns the death of his son Absalom in 2 Samuel 18:33. And the king was much moved. And he went up to the chamber over the gate, and he wept. And as he went, thus he said, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son." To part with a son breaks the father and mother's heart. How much more did it cost God to send his son, the Lord Jesus, who had been with him for all eternity, into this sin-cursed world to die the innocent for the guilty? And John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we have to realize what a tremendous thing it was, what love God had to send his son. And 1 John 3:1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the whole world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." And you know, when we go to John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God gave up his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come into this sin-cursed world, to do for you and I what we could not do for ourselves, make us acceptable to God. Men give up their sons to war for their country, or for the ideals of a free society. But God sent his son to die for the wicked, evil, sinful people of a fallen earth. And you know, the first step on the way to salvation is to realize our sinnership. And you know, there are so many out there today, and they haven't the slightest interest or concern that they are sinners. It is always somebody else that is the great sinners. And they look and they condemn everybody else, but they never look into their own heart. And yet the Bible teaches us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And they are so blinded by the devil that they have no concern, and they do not realize that the first step to getting to heaven is to realize that they are lost sinners. In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken." I want to ask you tonight, Have you come to the position where you realize that you personally are a sinner in God's sight? You know, it is something that always perturbs people. They always say, well, I'm not really all that bad. And then there are others that they will say, well, you know, I don't believe there's a God. I think I told you maybe the last time there about a man in the sauna down in the hotel we were in for a few days. And he told me that he was an atheist. He asked me, of course, did I enjoy the food in the hotel and then did I enjoy a drink? And I said, I don't drink. I never had a drink in my life. Oh, he says, I'll not do you any harm. Well, says, I had destroyed members of my family. Wrecked them. Put one of them in the grave. The drink. Well, he says, you know, I know where you're coming from. It's religion. He says, I'm an atheist. He says, I don't believe in God and I don't believe in anything. And after it's over. And, you know, I said to him, it doesn't make the slightest bit difference what you think. It doesn't make the slightest bit difference what I think. But what does God's word teach us? He said, it's too hot in here. It's time I was out of here. And he disappeared. But I was telling that at the prayer meeting in their own church, and the lady said to me, gone out. She says, you know, I can remember that this man who complained and said he was an atheist. And he said, he told everybody there was nothing beyond the grave. And he died. And this father took his little son in to see him in the coffin. And the little son laughed his head off. And the father said, son, what are you laughing your head off about? He says, all dressed up and nowhere to go. And you know, he saw the reality of it. My dear friend, whenever we realize that we're a sinner, and we realize that our sin separates us from our God, then we are on the first step to a lost, or we are on the first step to heaven and to avoid going to a lost sinner's hell. Some people mistakenly think that God provided salvation as a result of what went wrong in the Garden of Eden when our first parents, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God's command not to partake of the forbidden fruit. But God had already chosen to save sinners in eternity past. God's love is supreme. It's above all else. Without God sending his only begotten Son, no one would ever be saved. And when we think about God's sacrifice, we think of the supreme love of God. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? But we want to look at the supreme price paid for that love. But delivered him up for us all. The price of the love of God to men, women, boys, and girls was the death of his son. In Luke 23:33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left. The shedding of blood only could satisfy divine justice. The sacrifice had to be without spot or blemish. The only one who could satisfy God's demands was his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. And Jesus left the glories of heaven to become the God-man and to do for you and I what we could never do for ourselves. Make us acceptable to the eternal God of heaven. Some people think because they were baptized as a child, because they were confirmed or received into the church. Others think because they live a good life and do the best they can, never do anybody any harm, they've never murdered, they've never gone out, done this, that, and the other thing, that somehow or other they're going to satisfy God's justice. But my dear friend, nothing that you and I could ever do would satisfy the divine justice of God that is upon us for our sins. But thank God what we could not do. The only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into this world to satisfy God's demands. He left the glories of heaven to become the God-man and to do for you and I what we could never do for ourselves. And John 1:1, and we quoted it already, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The price for the redemption of his elect people was high. No other could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Let us always rejoice that Jesus came into this world of sin. This world that you and I live in. And he was born sinless on our behalf. Something no one else could ever be. Born sinless or has ever been. He lived a sinless life on our behalf. Something that you and I could never do is live a sinless life. Now there are some people, of course, think that they can live a sinless life. And some Christians, you know, think they never sin. Spurgeon said, I think it was one time, if you meet a Christian who said he never sins, spit in his face or hit him in the face and see what his reaction is. You know, we all sin day and daily in thought, word, and deed. But Christ lived that sinless life on our behalf. He received the punishment that we deserve for our sin. And you know, that punishment wasn't just the cruelty of the Roman crucifixion. And people will tell you that that is the worst form of torture that anyone could ever have, a Roman crucifixion. But you know, it was when the sky was darkened, when God poured out his wrath upon his Son for sinners such as you and I. All that God's Son suffered, something that you and I could never have done. And he received the punishment we deserve for our sin. Isn't that tremendous? He took it on our behalf. He shed his precious blood to wash us from all our sins. Not some of our sins, but all of our sins, our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins. Christ shed his precious blood to wash us from all our sins. And thank God he rose again from the dead on our behalf. Something that we could never do. But Jesus rose again from the dead on our behalf. And because he rose again, there is a day coming when the graves will open. And those who are saved by God's grace, those who have been born again into God's family, will suddenly arise. Because Christ was the first that rose again from the dead on our behalf. He ascended up to heaven on our behalf. And what a tremendous day that was when the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But oh, what a day it was when he ascended up into heaven on our behalf. And all Jesus did from his birth till he arrived in heaven was all part of salvation that you and I that are saved enjoy. And if you're not saved tonight, then the sacrifice that he made, the punishment that he received, if you come as a sinner to the foot of the old rugged cross and you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart to cleanse away your sin, he will wash you in his precious blood. He will make you a child of God. He will give to you his salvation. I wonder, is there someone in the meeting tonight and you're not saved? And yet God has been speaking to you, maybe in the quietness of your own home, maybe in the night watches, maybe at your work, and he has been coming, and you know that you're a sinner. You know that you're lost. But the Spirit of the living God has been dealing with your heart and drawing you to see Christ, the one upon the cross of Calvary, doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. If that is the case, then I ask you tonight, will you not come to the foot of the old rugged cross and cry unto God to forgive your sins, to commit to your heart? And he said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And you can come into this service tonight on the way to a lost sinner's hell, and you can go out through that door tonight on your way to heaven. Why? Simply because of what Jesus did for you upon the cross of Calvary. The innocent, sinless Son of God dying in the sinner's place. What a Savior. Praise God for the supreme love that God, Jesus had. Praise God for the supreme price that was paid. But you know, there's the supreme blessings that flow from that love. And verse 32 again, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And you know, every blessing we possess is because of God's love for us. The blessing of sins forgiven. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blessing of adoption into God's family. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Sins forgiven. Become a son of God. The blessing of heaven as our eternal home. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a tremendous blessing God's salvation is. The blessing of the Holy Spirit, as we were thinking about this morning, helping us in this world. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You see, salvation is real. Salvation is genuine. And salvation changes a person from the inside out. Of course, there's a lot of talk today about people making commitments. And there's a lot of talk about people getting saved and they just continue on doing what they always did. That's not God's salvation. When a person is saved by God's grace, the old desires for the world are gone. Yes, we're tempted. But oh, there's the desire to serve the Lord, a desire to pray, a desire to read God's word, a desire to be in the company of God's people, a desire to have that fellowship with God. What a blessing. In Matthew 5, we have there, blessed are the poor in spirit, or the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. How many of God's people today are hungering and thirsting after righteousness? You know, if you're hungry, you'll want to get food. And the longer that you go without food, you get more hungry. And you want food. And my dear friend, if you're saved by God's grace, we should be hungry for the Word of God and for the righteousness of God. they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when all men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. What blessedness we have when we're saved by God's grace. Oh, we should be rejoicing in our salvation. And yet most Christians are running about today and their faces are, I was going to say something, I'll not bother saying it. But you know, we look anything but happy, don't we? Instead of having a smile on our face and rejoicing that our sins are gone, that we have the blessing of God in our heart, the Holy Spirit to lead us, and a home in heaven, we should be rejoicing. And our family should see it, our workmates should see it, and we should be blessed. You know, there's no talk on those verses in Matthew about kings and queens and rich men, educated people, company directors, MPs, or anything else. It's just ordinary folk saved by the grace and mercy of God. The greatest blessing of all is the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Oh, what a day it was when we were saved and we received the Holy Spirit. Ye shall receive power, as we read this morning, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Thank God for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the work of the Holy Spirit that enables us to do what we couldn't do normally. People say, if I get saved, how could I live the Christian life? Well, let me tell you this, you couldn't. Nor neither could I. But thank God when we're saved, we receive the Holy Spirit and he enables us to live the Christian life. He enables us to do what we normally cannot do or won't do. And he helps us day by day. And he teaches us and he leads us and he guides us. And so when you come as a sinner and you're saved by God's grace, you say, well, will I be able to keep it? Not at all, you couldn't keep it. But thank God he keeps us. He holds us in his hand. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Thank God the keeping of your salvation is not in your hands or mine. Yes, we have to live, and we have to show the fruits of the Spirit. But God saves us, and he gives us eternal life. And we shall never perish. God holds us in the center of his hand. What a tremendous salvation this is. This was the blessing of God on the early church, as we said this morning. But to you and I on our everyday walk and witness with the Lord, let us daily seek that fresh filling of the Holy Spirit to help us to stand against the devil and the flesh, and witness well for the Lord Jesus. You know, we can claim all the promises of God that are in the Bible. And we can come. And when God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, he means it. And you know, that's something we need to have in our hearts, that we can take God's precious word and we can say, Lord, you have said. And you know, the old devil will still tempt you when you're saved. And how do you get over the temptation of the devil? You go to God's word. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The devil says, well, you don't know whether you're saved or not. And what do you say? Devil, you're a liar. God's word says, if I come to him, he won't cast me out. What does he do? He takes us in. And we do what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he was tempted. We talk back to the devil. But you know, there's a lot of Christians today who don't even believe there's a devil. Or they act as if they don't believe there's a devil, let alone the world out there. But oh, if you're saved by God's grace, you will be tempted. And you know, I always go to doors, and when I have been over the years talk to people, I would much rather go to a house where someone said, yes, I trusted the Lord as my Savior away back 5, 10, 20 years ago, and I'm doing my best to live for the Lord, and it's not easy. I said, thank God you're saved. But if you go to a door and somebody said, oh, saved way back there, and they never had a wrong thought after it, then you realize that they're not genuine at all. My dear friend, whenever we are saved by God's grace, the Lord helps us and gives us the joy. I want to ask you, or will you rejoice tonight in the supreme love of God? The supreme price that was paid for that love. The supreme blessings that flow from that love. Have you received the blessing of salvation? Maybe God has spoken to someone. You've been brought up in the church. Maybe you've only come and you heard the gospel message over these past weeks or months, and you know that you need to be saved. I want to ask you, will you come tonight? Will you receive the blessing of God's salvation? If not, why not now? You know, why does people not come to Christ? Because the devil stops them. And what you need to do is to say, Lord Jesus, I'm coming now to thee, help me. And he'll come and he'll draw you to himself and he'll give you his salvation and you will go home rejoicing. If you realize that you were born a sinner, that you're under the judgment of God for your sin, you need a Savior. And of course, there is only one door into heaven. And Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Not two doors, not a half a dozen doors. One door and only one, the little chorus says. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? I urge you tonight to come. Put your trust and faith in him. You say, what do I do? You simply confess your sins and ask the Lord to come into your heart. I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Save me. And believe the word of God when he said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Will you come tonight if we can be of any help to you? Will your servant for Christ's sake? But you don't need me. You don't need anybody. All you've got to do is get down at your bedside and say, Lord, come into my heart and save me. And then confess it to somebody. Tell them. Last night, I came and asked the Lord to save me. And you know, they will be encouraged when you do tell them. And they'll pray for you and help you. And what a desire that would, what a great thing that would be. But tonight, if we can be of any help, don't go away, speak to us or some of the brethren here. And we would know his power and presence amongst us. Let's bow in prayer, please.